So we are so excited about the National Endowment for the Arts and its 50th anniversary this year. And the way we're honoring the 50th anniversary is through two approaches. And the first approach is to celebrate the impact of the National Endowment for the Arts over the first 50 years. And then the second approach is to look at the arts and the role of the National Endowment for the Arts over the next 50 years. So to take a fresh look at what the future can look like by exploring the changing conditions through creativity and the arts in America. So our Creativity Connects initiative that we'll talk about is how we're going to look at the next 50 years. But first, the first 50 years. So if you look back to 1965, this was a time of turbulence and challenges, but it was also a time of creating new freedoms and new frontiers. Things were going on such as the Voting Rights Act. It had just been signed a month before the National Endowment for the Arts was established. And America completed its first successful spacewalk earlier that summer. And after three attempts, marchers from Selma, Alabama successfully reached the Capitol steps in Montgomery. And these were the conditions that were going on in the American people when the National Endowment for the Arts and the National Endowment for the Humanities were created on September 29, 1965, to nurture and elevate the nation's culture for the advancement of American civilization. And so unlike previous New Deal, WPA, the Works Progress Administration program, neither the National Endowment for the Arts nor the National Endowment for the Humanities were formed for just economic reasons. They were really considered to be about something grander, and that was to nurture American creativity, elevate the nation's culture, and sustain and preserve the country's artistic traditions throughout the nation. So from dense neighborhoods to cities large and small, vast rural spaces, for all Americans to experience and benefit and be engaged with the arts. And America is today what it is today because of its commitment to pursuing innovative ideas and passionately chasing those wild dreams that enrich us and make our lives worth living. The Congress of 1965 recognized that in order to be an effective leader with might and strength, you also had to have heart and meaning. So for the past 50 years, that's exactly what the National Endowment for the Arts has been doing. So from Steppenwolf Theater to the American Film Institute, from Prairie Home Companion, the Sundance Film Festival, PBS's Live from Lincoln Center, more than 400 traditions of and translations of literature from 77 other countries and 66 languages, grants to attract students and teachers and audience members who could not buy their own tickets, initiatives to deliver programs to communities across the nation, from earlier arts programs at military installations to featuring the masters of jazz and folk and traditional arts in schools and concert halls and on radio and television, to the Deaf Initiative that brought the arts to those with hearing challenges. From Maya Lin to Wynton Marsalis, thousands of artists and arts organizations of all genres have received National Endowment for the Arts grants during their formative years. And over the past five decades, the National Endowment for the Arts has made more than 147,000 grants, totaling $5 billion, with a significant ability to leverage those dollars, just as Matt has talked about with the Iowa Arts Council. So for every dollar awarded by the National Endowment for the Arts, an additional $7 to $9 of other funds outside of the National Endowment for the Arts are given to the same arts project. And so if I put my MBA hat on, I would say that a 1-to-7 ratio is a very good return on our investment. So that's how we operate. So our 50th anniversary is an opportunity to celebrate those once emerging artists and arts organizations that are now world-renowned forces and applaud their contributions to America's cultural landscape. I mentioned Maya Lin earlier, and I just saw a Maya Lin exhibit in the Des Moines Art Center just yesterday. But this is also an opportunity to celebrate the arts in our everyday lives, to celebrate what the arts can do because there's no such thing as a marginalized population. The arts belong to all of us. And so we at the National Endowment for the Arts are very committed to ensuring that every individual, from child to grandparent and from 10th generation to first generation has an opportunity to find their creative voice through the arts and live in a community where creativity can thrive. We think this is important because we've seen what the arts can do. We find art on museum walls and we find it on stage, but it's not removed from the rest of society and it's not isolated in some ivory tower because the arts are all around us and they touch every aspect of our world, whether we're aware of it or not. They contribute to our economy and they revitalize neighborhoods and they increase our sense of well-being. They're an equalizer in communicating with families within our communities who do not use English as their first language. They spark new ideas in science and technology, and they draw out our feelings to help us understand ourselves. They provide us with an avenue of expression. So over the past year, I've visited 97, this is my 97th different community in the 33rd state, and people always ask me, how do the different communities compare with each other, so which community is better than the other one? And I think that's a really amusing question because what I've discovered is that if you've seen one community, you've only seen one community. Every community has its own unique characteristic, and there's no better way to celebrate that than through the arts. Because the arts help us see what's exceptional about who we are and where we live, and they highlight these characteristics that make each of us unique, not cookie cutter. And they give us these opportunities to express ourselves and hear those expressions of others. And we have this opportunity to celebrate our differences rather than automatically viewing them as a means of division. So in our own annual research from the Survey of Public Participation, we in the arts, we found that Iowa residents exceed the national average, especially when it comes to attending jazz concerts and attending a visual arts event, including visiting cultural historic sites. And Iowans are way above the national average when it comes to creating woodwork and leatherwork, metalwork. They also exceed the national average in the traditional creation of needlework pieces, such as quilts and knitting, crocheting, needlepoint. And let's look at the great work that the arts organizations are doing in their own ways. I just went to the Des Moines Civic Center, and they've made a very important contribution to downtown revitalization. And Art Force Iowa gives teenagers, especially those who have very few opportunities, marketable skills through the arts. The Des Moines Arts Center, as I mentioned before, engages local residents and visitors through the arts. And look at that John and Mary Papa John Sculpture Park. Wow, that has really transformed the area's physical and economic landscape. And so as we examine the current conditions in the communities, large and small, we now see that there's some trends and patterns in the arts and that they're continuing to expand. We're seeing that there's a lot more opportunities than ever before to connect the arts and arts projects with other fields that want and use creativity. So creativity, as you know, doesn't just happen in a vacuum anymore. So when I was trained in the arts, I sequestered myself in a practice room, nobody else around, so I could not only practice on my own and explore my own musical skills, but I also wanted to make sure that my own creativity would not be tainted by other perspectives. But that is different now, and creativity doesn't just happen alone in a studio anymore. Artists join up with scientists, engineers, businesses, and they find new ways to solve old problems. Maker spaces are popping up where people can gather together and work on do-it-yourself projects with the tools at hand, but they still have the benefit of learning from each other. And art forms, as well as organizations, aren't solely focused on just one type of art. Within the same organization, there can now be a lot more multidisciplinary projects. So as part of our anniversary celebration, we're asking ourselves, how can the arts support America over the next 50 years? How can we better understand and expand the ways that the arts infuse our country? And how are the arts infrastructures changing? So how can the National Endowment for the Arts make sure that we're there to better support the ideas, the innovative initiatives, and the dreams that have made America what it is today? and build the capacity of the arts and strengthen the sector to be leaders at the creative table. And so to explore these questions, we're recently announcing the new initiative called Creativity Connects. And so Creativity Connects is about building the relationships between the arts and the general public, as well as between the arts and different industries outside of the arts that want and use creativity. Because we want the arts to have a seat at the table in community leaders grappling with solving the issues of today, and because we believe that creativity can help us solve those old, tired problems in new ways. The arts can synthesize different perspectives and fields of study. They open up avenues for new collaborations that earlier may have seemed as if they didn't fit together. And this initiative will make that case for inclusion and help people understand the valuable connections that the arts have in ways that they may or may not be aware of. And so the initiative, Creativity Connects, is driven by the belief that the arts have a power to touch and benefit every aspect of our world. So there are three components to our new Creativity Connects initiative. And the first component is an infrastructure report that's going to provide an overview of what type of artistic practices are out there and how they are expanding. Ask ourselves, what are the key resources that artists need in order to produce their very best work? And so as part of this infrastructure report, we're going to host 10 roundtables across the nation. We just had our second one here in Des Moines. I got to listen to some of the conversations, and it was outstanding, the feedback we're getting, because we don't want this infrastructure report to just be a report that sits on the shelf. We want something relevant and meaningful, something that we can really have substance and make a difference. And the conversations I heard today from a number of you who attended the roundtable discussions were very substantive, and you're really helping us learn from you. So we're hosting, we've had another roundtable in Santa Fe, and then we have 8 more to go across the nation, from Helena, Montana, to all kinds of other places, to end in next spring. So I want you to know how important Iowa is to this whole initiative, because you're really giving us feedback on what arts is here, how much it means to you, and we're learning from you. So the second component is an interactive digital systems graphic. So this is a visual piece that has parts and pieces of the creative ecosystem in the United States. So the digital graphic will show examples of who's out there doing good work in the arts and other sectors that are connecting to the arts, and show these parts and pieces. I like to think about it as if I were a city planner and I were concerned about how my city was functioning, I might be thinking about everything from the roads and the bridges and the sidewalks and the water systems and the transportation of a city. Well, the ecosystem of the creative and of the arts, that's how we think about it too. Who funds the arts? Where is arts happening? Because gone are just the days of creativity in a studio. It might be in the back booth of a coffee shop. You might be talking to non-arts people to get your creativity. So those are the kind of things we're talking about in terms of our interactive graphic systems visual that we'll have for the parts and pieces that support creativity. And we'll be able to see who's out there doing great, who are the bright spots, who's out there doing the great work. And then the third component is a pilot grant program that we'll launch in mid-December of this year, and that supports partnerships between arts organizations and organizations from non-art sectors. So it might be business or education or environment, finance, faith, food, law, science, technology, other industries that want creativity too, and you can apply, arts organizations can apply with a partner in hand and that connect those industries and those sectors together. So we're very excited about it, and tune in on the website arts.gov to read the grant guidelines in December. So I'm very excited about the possibilities that Creativity Connects and this initiative is going to uncover and introduce, because we believe that by pooling our minds and the resources of all these different fields, we're opening the door for more innovation and opportunities. It means new ways to enrich our communities and new mediums to help us understand ourselves and our neighbors, new approaches to different practices that we might have currently taken for granted. And we think that by strengthening the creative ecosystem of the nation, Our work together is more effective. I want to thank each of you for the work that you're doing to advance American culture and for your support as we work together to create the spaces where new and innovative and insightful ideas can come from. Thanks so much for letting me join you today.